Okay, welcome, Kaitz Kedushin Chabura. We are up to Mem Hey Amud Aleph, second half of the Amud, about 7 or 8 lines from the top, by the two dots, Itmar. So if you recall, we've been discussing, again, continuously, the capacity for a Ketana to Mekabel Kesef Kedushin without her father's consent. Is she able to or not? Ula was of the opinion, the second version of Ula was that it has no meaning in halacha bichlal, there's no reason for a get, and there's no reason for a mian. However, Rav and Shmuel held that there is some legal meaning to it, and we discussed how Rav and Shmuel both required that there be a get because of the tzad, that perhaps the father did give his consent. He's being quiet. We're not sure whether he's giving consent or not, so we have to be chayshish that maybe there was a consent, and therefore we require a get. And then we pointed out that in addition to that, we also need a mian, which is, again, a mere refusal, which is a declaration by the Ketana that she no longer wants to be married to Reuven. And usually that procedure is only used for derabanan kedushins. Why do we make her do a derabanan mian in addition to a get? Because of a concern that if people see that there was a get given between Reuven and this Ketana, they will think that there was an actual full-fledged Kedushin. But really, in truth, we are only being choshesh that there was a Kedushin. There is still a tzad that there was not a Kedushin because maybe the father did not give his consent. And as such, if people think that there was really a full-fledged Kedushin, they're going to think that if Reuven now wants to marry or try to mimikadesh this Ketana's sister, they will think that it has no meaning in halacha because you can't marry your wife's sister and the Kedushin is not chal, and they'll think that this sister can simply just be released from this marriage without a get, without anything. But since we're saying that it's not bona fide, it's not clear for a fact that the father was mekabel, gave consent to this Kedushin, but rather there is a bona fide tzad that maybe he did not, in which case when Reuven does try to attempt to marry the sister of this Ketana, it would be chal, and she would need a full-fledged get. And so therefore, to set like a sort of reminder and a signal, a simon, to everyone around that this Kedushin that took place between Reuven and this Ketana is not a full-fledged Kedushin, it's just a chashash that maybe the father accepted and gave his consent, we also require a mian to be done, which is usually only done for Kedushin Dirabanan, and this way people will know that if there's a mian being done, oh, this Kedushin wasn't a full-fledged Kedushin, and we will never ever think that if this Reuven subsequently wants to mikadesh the sister of this Ketana, that this sister will not need a get. Of course she'll need a get, because this whole Kedushin that took place between the Ketana and the Reuven was just a chashash Kedushin. That's how we ended off with Rav and Shmuel. Now the Gemara wants to discuss Rav and Shmuel in the context where this girl, Ketana, accepted Kedushin from Reuven without the knowledge of her father. And lo and behold, Reuven dies. What does she need to do now? So the Gemara is going to say basically the same thing we said last time, but it's going to add a little bit of a caveat. And this will conclude our discussion regarding Rav and Shmuel. Itmar, it was said, Mace, if this man, this Reuven, dies after he gives over the Kesef Kedushin to this Ketana without the consent of the father, V'nafla lefnei achav liyibum, and therefore, now that this Reuven dies, he has no children, Shimon technically is now the Yavam to this Ketana Leah. So what does she need to do? So Amar Rav Huna Marav, Rav Huna Marav says two things, two halachas that have to take place, and we're going to elaborate on each one of these statements. The first statement, he says, is that Mima'enes Lemamaro. If Shimon does what we call a mimer, which we pointed out before, means that if you have a few brothers who are all eligible yibums to Leah, one of them can designate Leah for himself through Kedushin Derabanan, which is called mimer. Kedushin of a Yavam. It's not Dereisa, because Dereisa is only when he actually has a Bia with her. That's how Yibam works, through Bia. But if he wants to designate her over the other brothers, he can do a Kedusha and no one else can touch her. So if one of the brothers, let's say Shimon, does a mimer to this girl Leah, because her husband died, and now he's a Yibam, the Shimon is a Yibam to Leah. So if he does mimer instead of Yibam, so she should do the following. She should be Mimma Enesh. She should do a Miyun. We're going to elaborate what that means and how far-reaching that halacha is. The second statement is, Ve'ena ma'menes lezikaso. However, she should not do a Miyun if he has a Yibam to her. Again, we have to explain what that means. Those are the two cryptic statements of Rav Huna Marav, that if Shimon does a mimer to her, she should do a mian. If he just simply does not do a mimer, but he just has a zika to her, he's just a yavam to her, but he doesn't actually do anything, no bia, no nothing, no mimer, nothing, then she doesn't have to do a mian. So right now the Gemara is going to explain all of these two statements. Ketzad, what does he mean in these two cases? So statement number one. Asa ba mimer, if Shimon did a mimer to designate this Leah as his personalized Yavama, and no other brother can touch her until he does his bia with her, the halacha is tricha get utricha chalitza utricha mian. She needs to get a get, she needs to have a chalitza, and she needs to do a mian. She needs to do all three things. So although the words of Rav Huna Marav was only the words mimma enes lemamaro, right now, we're elaborating, it doesn't just mean you have to do a mian to the mimer, you have to do these three things, get, chalitza, and mian. Now, why in the world do you need all three things? This Shimon did a mimer. He is the brother of Reuven who died, and Shimon now is in the position to do Yibam with this girl, Leah. However, instead of doing the Yibam, he decides to do a mimer first, a Kiddushin Derabanan, to designate her, and no other brother can now touch her until he does his full-fledged Yibam. In this case, we need get, chalitza, and mian for the following reasons. Again, don't forget, Reuven was married to Leah through a kesef kiddushin without the das of the father. And now Reuven dies, and now Shimon does a mimer to her. So we need these three things. Why is that? Tricha get, she needs to get a get from Shimon, because when Shimon did his mimer, his kiddushin to Leah, maybe the father accepted Kiddushe Sheni, right? We're calling this Kiddushe Sheni because Reuven was Kiddushe Rishon, he died. And now Kiddushe Sheni, Shimon designated her through Mimer. She's going to need a get because although she's doing it without the das of her father, maybe her father is giving consent to this Kiddushin, and now she's a bona fide married to Shimon, and she needs to get a get from Shimon. It would have legal standing, and she needs a get because her father gave consent. Tricha chalitza, shema nisratza av kedushi rishon. On the other hand, she also needs a chalitza because perhaps when she accepted the kedushin from Reuven originally, her father did give consent to that as well, and that would be kedushi rishon, meaning Reuven's kedushin would be a full-fledged kedushin, which means that Reuven died, and Leah was his full-fledged wife through Kiddushin, through her father, and now she is a bona fide Yibum de'oraisa to Shimon, and she now needs a full-fledged Chalitza. So the Gemara is saying, she needs a get because maybe the father gives consent to Shimon, who gave Mimer to Leah, and that's a Kiddushin de'Rabban, a Kiddushin that is being accepted by the father. That's a Kiddushin de'oraisa which needs a get. And she also needs a chalitza because maybe the father accepted the kedushin of the first one, of Reuven, and now that Reuven died, she is now yivama to Shimon, and so she needs a chalitza if she wants to be released. And number three, tricha mian. She also needs mian. Why? Shama lo nisratza av lo bekedusha rishon lo bekedusha sheni, because maybe the father didn't have consent to either one of them, not to Reuven's kedushin, and not to Shimon's mimer, nothing. And if he didn't have any consent whatsoever, that means the kedushin is not chal bechlal. But if the kedushin is not chal bechlal, and yet the observer, the onlooker, sees that she got a get and she got a chalitza, they're going to be mistakenly assumed that it was a good kedushin. In which case, they're going to think, as Rashi said, as Gemara said before, v'yomru in kedushin tofes nebachosa, that if now Shimon wants to now go ahead and marry Leah's sister, they're going to think, oh, the kedushin is not chal, because look, she got a get, she got a chalitza before, it must be Shimon really was married to her, or Reuven was married to her, and now there's a full-fledged kedushin, and any kedushin that takes place with a sister is not going to be chal, because you can't marry your wife's sister. And so she's going to be released, the sister is going to be released without a get, because they're going to assume that there's no meaningful kedushin that took place. But that's a toss, because there's a tzad that the father did not have any consent, not for the first one, not for the second one, and therefore, if there is a subsequent kedushin between Shimon and the sister, it would take effect that Shitaka does need a get. So in order to give a signal to everyone that the kedushin that took place between Reuven and this ketana, or Shimon and this ketana, her through Mimer, in order to show that it was not a full-fledged kedushin, we do a mion to signal off to show that if in the event that anyone, that this Shimon subsequently wants to mekadesh the sister of this ketana, that we will not say that it doesn't take effect. We will assume that it does take effect, because look, we saw that a mion was done originally. That's the same thing as we said earlier between Rav and Shmuel. That was all statement number one of Rabbi Rav Huna, who said that if Shimon decides to do a mion to the ketana, to the ketana, then the girl should do three things. The girl, the ketana, has to do a get, a chalitza, and a mian. A get is because maybe the father consented to the first kedushin, which means that she needs a get from Shimon, and then she needs a chalitza from Shimon as well, because maybe he consented to the first kedushin, which means that Reuven died, and now there's a bona fide yibum status to this girl, and she needs a chalitza. And number three, we need a mian as a safeguard, as a signal to everyone that this whole entire process is just a chashash kedushin, but taka, there is a bona fide tzad that there is no kedushin at all, and therefore, if Shimon ever ends up marrying the sister of this ketana, people will know that the kedushin will be chal, and she needs a get from the sister if she wants to be released. That was all statement number one. What about statement number two? Lo asaba mimer. He did not do anything. Shimon did not do any mimer to her. So what does Leah have to do to this Shimon? All she needs is eina tricha ella chalitza bilvad. All she'll need is a chalitza. Why? Why should she need a chalitza? Because we already said that since there is a chashash that maybe, because since there was no mimer, so she doesn't need a get, because the only reason for a get was if Shimon did a mimer to her. So that, we don't have that chashash here, because he didn't do a mimer. In terms of a chalitza, we already explained, you need a chalitza, because maybe the father gave consent to the first kedushin between Reuven and Leah, this ketana, and when Reuven dies, now she has a full yibum status to Shimon, and now she needs a chalitza on account of the consent that her father gave to the original kedushin between Reuven and Leah. So that's why we need chalitza. So far, so good. We explained why you don't need a get, but we did explain why you need a chalitza. What about the third aspect of mian? So what's the reason for mian, like we just said? It's to set up a signal to show that this is only a chashash kedushin. So Gemara says, you don't need that here. My amras, what are you going to say? Tibai nami mian, that you also need a mian? Shema yomu in kedushin tofes nebachosa, because people may say that if you see that there was a chalitza here, that people will think that you can, that if Shimon ever marries a sister of this ketana, that the kedushin will not be chal, because look, there was a full-fledged chalitza here. Don't worry about that. Hakol yodim achos chalutza derabanan. Everyone knows that the sister of a chalutza is only a din derabanan, is only a kedushin derabanan, is only an iser derabanan, I'm sorry. And therefore, people will not assume that the kedushin will not be chal. They'll assume the kedushin will be chal. And therefore, there will be no chashash that the kedushin, the people will look at this kedushin being taking place and it will not be chal. They'll know that the kedushin can be chal with the sister and they'll get will be required. Where do we see this distinction that iser for an achos grusha is midoraisa, but chalutza is derabanan? Dabar Reish Lakish, kan shana rebi achos grusha midoraisa, that to marry the sister of your grusha is a iser deraisa, and that's why we require a miyan in the previous cases as a signal to show that this is only a chashash kedushin, but really, if there is no kedushin between the first two, then there will be a kedushin between the sister and that she needs a get. However, an achos chalutza is midivrei sofrim. Everyone knows that the sister of a chalutza is only aser derabanan, and therefore, if the person does attempt to marry the sister of his chalutza, people will definitely understand that that kedushin will be chal, and therefore they will all understand that she will need a get if they ever want to divorce one another, and it's not just going to be not chal at all. So, just to summarize what we did, we basically are refining the shita of Rav and Shmuel, who in general they say that a ketano who is mikudeshes without the consent of the father, generally speaking, there is meaningful halacha there because we have a chashash that maybe there was a consent of the kedushin. We're not sure, so we do have a chashash. And the Gemara is saying, though, what happens in a case where this ketana does that indeed, and her husband, Reuven, dies? How do we proceed from there? So the Gemara gave two options. If Shimon, the brother, tries to do a mimer with this girl, then she's going to need to do three things: get, chalitza, and mian. However, if he doesn't do anything, he's just a yavam to this girl, Leia, then all he's going to have to do is chalitza, and we're not going to have to require get, and we're not even going to have to require mian, because mian is only meant to serve as a reminder that really this case is only a chashash kedushin. And we don't want anyone to make any mistakes that if subsequently they would marry the sister, they would not be need a get. That's only necessary when it comes to an achos grusha. But when it comes to an achos chalutza, everyone knows that the kedushin will be chal if he ends up doing it. And therefore, there's no chashash that she will ever be released without a get. The sister will ever be released without a get in the future. That concludes Rav and Shmuel's halacha. And now we have a nice story to kind of, still connected in halacha, but kind of a nice tangent story to kind of ease our way into Memhei Amud Beis. So let's continue on with the following story. Hanu Beitrei Dehavu Kashasu Chamra Tutei Tzifi Bebavel. There were two people, Beitrei, two people, Dehavu Kashasu Chamra, they were drinking wine, Tusi Tzifi Bebavel, they were drinking wine under Tusi, under a tzife, which is like a type of tree, a willow tree, bebavel, in bavel, shakal chad binayu, kasa dechamra, one of them took a kasa, a cup of dechamra of wine, yahav lelechavre, and he gave it to his friend, Amar, and he said to him, mekacha li bratech livri, let your daughter, I want her to become mekudeshes livri to my son. I'm giving you this gift of wine, a cup of wine. Please, mekadish your daughter to my son. Amar Avina, afil leman da'amar chashin and shema nisratzav. Even according to the tzad, the man da'amar, meaning Rav and Shmuel, who hold that we have a chashash that perhaps a father gives consent when his ketana accepts kedushin without his knowledge, but we are choshesh that maybe he does give consent when he hears about it. That's only true when a father about his daughter, that the daughter who accepts the kedushin, when he hears about it, the father may have consented. However, in this case where we're saying the father is trying to give a gift to another father and have the second father marry off his daughter to his son, well, the first father is representing his son and choosing a wife for him. We're not going to say that the son is going to have consent to this marriage. Who says? The father never has any rights over his son. He only has rights over his daughter to accept Kiddushin. So, if his daughter does it on his own, or her own, we have a chashash that maybe the father would give his consent when he hears about it. But the other way around, where the father is trying to marry off his son, in which case we would need the son's consent, because the father has no jurisdiction over his son. We need the son's consent. We would not assume that the son would give his consent when he hears about it, because the son is much more particular. He's going to be much more particular about who he wants to marry. He's not going to just stop marry any guy, any girl that his father chooses for him. Like we saw in the beginning of the parak, we saw that a woman is okay marrying someone who she'd rather be with someone than be by herself. But even here, when it comes to a father would much rather have his daughter married, even if he's not the most spitziest guy, because he knows his daughter is married. Masha Inkin, the other way around, the son has to have consent to the choice of girl that his father chose. Maybe he's very particular in who he wants to marry. So in this case, where the first father gave a cup of wine to the second father and told him, please give me your daughter to marry my son, so we will not assume that the first father's son will give consent when he hears about it, because the Maisa, he is more particular about who he wants to marry, as opposed to the other way around, where a father may give his consent that to what his daughter did, because a father is much more likely to want his daughter to be married, even if it's not the best guy that he would have chosen. Amrle Rabbi Leravina, V'dilma Shliach Shavye, how can you be so sure that the first father, this Kiddushin is not Chal? It's true, maybe the son may not give his consent, but maybe behind the scenes, the father is acting as a Shliach. Dilma Shavi Shliach. Maybe the son appointed the father as a Shliach, and that's why the father gave this gift to the other father, and the Kiddushin should be Chal. In other words, there is full consent here. He was appointed as a Shliach, the father. So Gemara says, lo, we're not going to be Choshish for that. Lo Chatzif Inish L'Shavi Avu HaShliach. A person is not so Chatzuf, doesn't have chutzpah, that he's going to actually appoint his father to do a shlichus for him. That's not correct, that's not appropriate. To ask your father to be your shliach, no one's going to do that. So we don't have to be choshish that the first father is considered a shliach for his son, and that this kedushin was chal by giving it over to the father of the other daughter. V'dilma artzuya artze kameh. But maybe we can say, we should be choshesh that artzuya artze kameh, that this son previously told his father that he really likes this girl and he wants to marry her, and his father is just acting accordingly based on zachin l'adam shelo b'fanav. He's acting as a shliach on his own right because he knows it'll benefit his son, because his son already confided in him that he wants to marry this girl. Why shouldn't we be choshesh for that? Amar le Rabba Bar Simi, Beferish Amarmar de lo savar laha de Rav Ushmuel. We know for a fact that this Shita Ravina, who we're quoting right now, Ravina, does not hold like Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, like we said before, said that a katana who is mekabel kedushin without the das of the father, there is legal meaning there. We do assume that the father, who is quiet afterwards when he hears it, may have been given consent to the Kiddushin that took place. But Ravina does not hold of that at all. He rejects it entirely. He doesn't hold that when a father is quiet, that we are choshesh for any consent. And so in a similar vein, the same thing is true over here. Even though it's true that perhaps, there is a tzad that the son confided in his father that he wants to marry this girl, but we're not choshish for those type of concerns. Unless we have proof evidence that there was consent, we're not going to be choshish and assume that there was consent behind the scenes. Just like when it comes to the father of a daughter and he's quiet, we don't assume that there is consent, because Ravina does not hold of Rav and Shmuel. So too, Ravina says the same thing here, that we're not going to conjure up assumptions and assume that the son confided in his father and that he wants to marry this girl. unless we hear beferish from the son, we don't assume such a thing. And therefore, when the first father gave the cup of wine as a gift to the other father to get the daughter to marry his son, we don't accept this kedushin. It's not a good, valid kedushin.